Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for each and every one of you that have joined me on tonight. Amen. You are in for a treat. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Grab your iPads or your iPhones, whatever you got on hand, and let us get ready to delve into the Word of God on tonight, hearing what He has to say, amen, to His people. But before I begin there, just want to let you know, in the way of the announcements as well as our upcoming events, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., please join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And as well, we do invite you to join us for our live worship experience. Amen. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. We are definitely going to be live in the house, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. If you are in the Brevard County area, come to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, Suite 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. Services start promptly on Sundays at 8 a.m. for intercessory prayer. Live worship experience at 8:30. Saturday morning, amen, is 9 a.m. Live worship experience beginning at 9:30 a.m. Amen. We are excited for you to be in the place. Now, if you do not live in the Brevard Cocoa area, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. There you can find us, locate us, and see every show that we have live. Don't want to miss a Sunday. Don't want to miss a Saturday. Join us right there. You see us live on that website, amen, at thelivestream.com, www.ctkr.org. Hit the media tab, and there we are. Amen. Hear what God has to say to you on whatever day you choose to listen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Now, just want to also give you the events that we have upcoming. Please join us this weekend for our first annual singles conference, Successfully Single. Singles Conference. Amen. October 31st, November 1st. Amen. Come join us, single men, single ladies. Amen. If you're looking to get married or if you are just happy being single, you still need to come. Why? Because the Word of God is for everybody. So come join us, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. We start promptly at 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you in the house on those days. Amen. Also, we have my Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship coming up, Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship. Amen. That's November 14th and 15th. You know where we are. 956 North Cocoa Boulevard. Amen. Suite 1121, 7 p.m. Join us here. We have praise and worship going forth. We have prayer. Amen. We have the Word of God, mainly the Word of God. Amen. So come for whatever to meet God. Come to rest in His presence. Come to just hear a word from the Lord. Amen. We have different men and women that will be coming forth to speak the Word of God on that night. And that is November 14th and November 15th. Amen. Also, want to let you know, we also have upcoming November 21st, we're going to be doing some changes in our program. November 21st, we are going to start adding Jesus and Me Ministries. Amen. Jesus and Me Jam. Jesus and Me Ministries starting Friday night, every Friday night at 7 p.m. Come as you are. We're just going to give God all glory, praise, worship. Amen. And after we do that, we're just going to come crack the Bible open and give a word, definitely. Amen. And making sure that any questions that you have been wanting to ask the pastor, but you weren't able to ask the pastor, you can ask the pastor now. Amen. We're going to crack the Bible open. Amen. See what he really knows. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. And everything's going to be done in decency and in order by the word. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Just want to let y'all know, Apostle's messing with me, y'all. So let me stay focused. Let me stay focused. So, amen. That is going to be November 21st. Amen. Starting at 7 p.m. And that will, people of God, take the place of our Saturday service. So we will have services Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then Sunday morning. Amen. Glory to God. So that's beginning Friday night, November 21st, 7 p.m., Jesus and Me Ministries. We're inviting all the young people and those who are young at heart and just want to come and worship God. Come on out. Amen. Glory to God. So we give Him all praise and all glory. And then finally, want to let you know, coming up, amen, January 29th through February 1st, our Joshua Generations Young Warrior Conference is coming forth. Amen. The young people are excited and on fire. They can't wait to give God all praise, glory, and honor. I want to be right there in the middle of it, too, hearing what the men and women of God have to say concerning what God is saying to His church. Amen. So that is January 29th through February the 1st. Amen. Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Come join us for that night as well. Now, that is all the events. That is all the announcements. And for those of you who are looking to support this ministry, as you're on our website, go to the Contact Us page. You'll see a donate button. Amen. Pray about becoming a vision partner and a financial supporter with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And now we also, if you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, as you're on the website, go to the Contact Us page. Follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Or if you would like to invite myself, Apostle McQueen, to any one of your engagements, or you just want to learn more about us, there we are on the Contact Us page. Find out everything you need. Those are the announcements. We say God bless you. Govern yourselves accordingly. Let's pray, and then let's get into this word. Father, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. And we glorify your most holy name. There is no one like our God. There's no one like our King. There is no one like our Lord. Who is like the great Jehovah? There is no, not one. Father, we bless and magnify your most precious holy name. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nobody else like you. We, your people, come before you with our hands uplifted and our hearts and our heads bowed to the ground and our hearts uplifted to give you of ourselves. We surrender, Father. We surrender our minds, our lives, our will unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we just want more of you, less of us. Amen. We give your name the most utmost praise. We worship and magnify you. God, we ask even now, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit during this meeting with your people, God, during this lesson. We ask that you would breathe upon your word in the name of Jesus. Let the people hear who need to hear, and then let a change begin on the inside. Purify us, O God, in your word. Purify us in your blood. Purify our minds. Give us a paradigm shift in our thinking, in our believing, God, concerning you, concerning your will, concerning your way of doing things. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you that you're raising up us as intercessors and prayer warriors going forth in this hour. Father, we thank you for the apostles, the prophets, all the fivefold giftings that you are raising up in the earth. Now I ask, Father, that as you're raising them up, that you will put down on the inside of them your spirit, your will, your heart, your purpose, your drive, God, that they don't get twisted, they don't get sidetracked in the name of Jesus, that they will stay focused, God, focused on the task, focused in recognizing that you are soon to come, focused and preaching the real true kingdom of God, fully understanding who they are and whose they are, that they will not be tricked, that they will not succumb, that they will not be talked out of their purpose. God, we thank you. We bind the hand and the works of the enemy now. God, we give your name all praise. You are a defeated foe, Satan. We give God all glory and honor in this house. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. People of God, if you will, amen. In the word of, in the name of the Lord is blessed. Go with me, if you would, to the book of James. The book of James on this evening. Amen. The book of James, chapter 3, starting at the first verse. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about our speech. We're going to talk tonight about the taming of our tongue. Amen. We're going to talk about how the Lord and the Holy Spirit sees it as such and what we need to do, amen, to make some changes up in our lives. Many of us are doing a lot of talking. We're doing a whole bunch of talking, but a lot of us are really not saying anything that's worthwhile listening to. If anything, we're just speaking just to hear ourselves talk. And that's all we want. And we really honestly think that somebody is truly interested in what we have to say. But you're not saying anything to anybody that's bringing deliverance. You're not speaking to anybody that's bringing things that are uplifting. Excellent with the motivation, but is in the intent of what you're saying, is it really geared towards changing somebody's life? Are your words geared towards changing a person's destiny? Or are you pretty much caught up in just loving the sound of your voice? And I don't know about you, but within these last few years of my existence, I have come to find that a lot of people really just like the sound of their voice. They like all the hollering, they like all the squalling, they like going through all the theatrics, but they're not saying anything that is challenging the people. They're not saying anything that is causing conviction. And I'm turning that especially when it comes to the Word of God. They're not saying anything that is going to bring full deliverance. It's not saying anything that will allow the message of what's being spoken really being felt in the heart, where it tugs at somebody's heartstrings and said what, and makes them do a look on the inner man, look on the inside and say, what is that me? Am I that person that you're talking about? What changes do I need to make in order to be more effective, in order to be who God has called me to be? And what we have, amen, is that many people are very motivational. But how many of you know that motivational is not going to save your soul? Motivation is not going to change your life. Motivation is not going to cause you to get up and make a physical move a physical change of the heart or the mind. Not only that, how many of you know that even in our speech, we have to be so careful because we randomly, without even thinking, will just say anything that comes to our mind, and then we put it in the atmosphere. And then when it begins to boomerang back at us, or we see the results of what we have spoken in the dark, then we're upset, we're angry, we're talking about the situation even further, or we're speaking on behalf that the person doesn't want to do or doesn't want to go or doesn't want to be. But how, or should I say, are we responsible for some of our people's downfall because of what we say? And being leader in a leadership position. Oh, you know what? Let's take leadership even out of that for just a second. If you are a child of the King and the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, God has given you the authority, and you've heard me say this before, to begin to speak into atmospheres, speak into the heavens, speak into the spirit realm, and begin to make changes. But many, because we don't really truly understand the authority that He has allowed us to loan, we don't understand the authority that He has placed on the inside of us, then we end up using our, I'm going to say it in a funny way, we end up using our powers for evil instead of good. And because the enemy knows how powerful words are, because words are spirit and they have life. Amen. And the Bible talks about how death and life are in the power of the tongue. And since death and life are in our mouths, whatever we speak, it will perform that which we send it to. Just like Jesus said, the words that I speak, when they go out of my mouth, it will perform that where I send it. So if a part of Him is living on the inside of you, you have that same authority inside of you, that same borrowed authority, that delegated authority He has also given you, which means that when you open up your mouth, you have the power to decree, to declare, to speak things. And not only that, but whatever you speak will not return unto you void. Something's going to come back at you. You are producing something, whether you believe it or not, you are producing something in the atmosphere. And for many of us, the enemy has us tricked and fooled because we're praying one thing, God make it better, God make it change, God deliver it and heal it. But at the same time, we haven't made the connection that we are not using the authority that He has given us, the word of God that He has given us. We're not using our language, our speech, our authority to speak what He has given. Instead, we're speaking the opposite. I don't know why it's always happening this way. I mean, you're always doing something like this. Things ain't never going to change. How long have we got to? I'm so fearful of doing this. I don't know. I'm tired. I can't take it no more. Every time I turn around, everywhere I go, it's always, I can't leave but one second. You look away and you always. So those words that He is, the spirit that's living on the inside of us, the authority, the delegated authority that God is, Christ is, that Christ is giving us to use, we are taking His words, taking His authority, and we're using it, but we're not producing what He has intended for it to produce. So when, and here's the funny thing, where the enemy tricks us up at is that he messes with our mindset. That's why it's very crucial, especially in this day and time we live in now, where the Bible says that we must be renewed in our minds. Because when your mind changes, your speech automatically changes. Because now when your mind changes, how you see a thing, and therefore you'll begin to speak the things that you see. and not always the things that you feel. And for many of us, the enemy tricks us because we're always speaking out of what we feel. Listen to yourself when you talk, or listen to others when they're around you and they're talking. What is it when they're in a conversation? Majority of the time, not all the time, but true conversation, true communication takes intelligent thought. It really takes intelligence to converse with another human being and really fully understand their perspective, their thought, how they see and how they view things. It also takes practice as well, not only to hear what they're saying, but really be able to convey your side or convey your opinion that is just as intelligent, just as effective, and just as mind-changing or convincing. I'll use it that way. And you're not emotional. Where we mess up, where we come into trouble, where the enemy understands where we always make our flaw, is that we become emotional. And when we become emotional, it's a wrap right there. Because out of emotion, the Bible talks about out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when your heart is troubled, when your heart is heavy, when your heart is broken, and you're wrapped up in emotions, then you begin to speak out of your emotionalism instead of out of clear thought. In other words, some of you, it's not everybody, and I'm not lumping everyone into one whole, composite. I'm not trying to do that, and that's not the word I'm looking for. But I'm not trying to lump everybody together. But I do want to say this, is that for some of us, when we're in a conversation or when we see something, we're quick to respond to it. We're quick to speak on it. We're quick to give an answer to it before we even see what fully happened, before we even hear or have an explanation of the full understanding of what something has transpired. We have already put our words to it. And most of the time when we put our words to it, it was quickly out of emotion. In fact, what's so interesting is that there's times when, and even I, you know, being a little transparent, prophetess has even made comments before I really even realize I've commented on something, until the person said, "What'd you just say?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? You just said blah, 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 blah." "No, I didn't. You just said blah, 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 blah." "Well, that's not what I meant." And here's how the enemy works. My husband always talks about how he's a legalist. The enemy is not really concerned about what you meant. All he's concerned about is that you said it. And that's where he locks many of us up, is that you said it. So when you look around you and you're always talking about you're broke and you're in a dead-end job, or you're always talking about, you know, "I'm still waiting on my house and I'm still waiting for certain things to happen and I'm never going to get this ministry and how big this church is never going to grow past these two people and you know, when is the my sons and daughters, if you know, if the Lord is giving you something, when is this going to be, when are they going to grow up, when are they going to birth forward? I'm looking on television and everybody seems to be doing this, that, and the other." The one thing that we have to really truly look at, everything's not the enemy. I always said it before, sometimes the enemy is within. It's by what we speak. The Bible said you shall have what you say. We really don't take that to perspective, because when we hear that scripture, we're just automatically moving our mindset to blessing. The minute we say that, I'm going to have what I say, well, I'm going to have $1 million, we just automatically move to how can I be blessed. But that scripture goes deeper than that. He's not just talking about the blessings. He's saying everything that you begin to speak, if you're not careful, if you're not taking full responsibility as to really hearing and understanding what is coming forth out of your mouth, you will have what you say. So when you look around you, I don't care how saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't care if you snot around every Sunday, I don't care if we have to pick you up and throw you in the car and drive you home because you're too drunk in the spirit. What are you speaking after the anointing lifts off of you? The enemy doesn't test you while you're being blessed, while you're under the anointing. The test comes the following day. The test comes the following week. Did you actually understand and receive the word that God really spoke to you? Did you receive everything? Did you allow the words to be planted and rooted on the inside of you? So therefore, now he comes to test. When the power of God comes, now he says, okay, is this real? Did you really hear what he said? Was that really how God meant it? Or was it like this? And he tries to paint the pretty picture for you, or a warped picture for you. But then what ends up happening, because we're not aware, the Bible says we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We must always be on guard and aware of who and where he is. Now, am I telling you to look under every rock and thinking it's a demon under every rock and a demon around every corner? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that you have to be aware that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy at all costs, and he'll use whoever he can. The bottom line is, though, you have to be on guard at all times. Amen. Now, not on guard to the point where you are no earthly good. Amen. You can't enjoy life. Not saying that either. But do know when the enemy comes. He comes to trick. He's not going to come at you full force in his own pure, you know, this is who I am. I'm the enemy. I'm coming to you. No, he's going to come very cloaked as an angel of light. He's going to come cloaked in familiarity. That's how he's going to come. And he's going to sit there and wait and ponder and poke and push and see, will you respond? Amen. Did you really understand what God said? Did you really get his understanding? Did you really get his word on it? Or were you too busy falling out? Or were you too busy rolling under the benches? Or were you too busy that you didn't understand there was a responsibility after the anointing? You know there's a responsibility after the anointing, right? After they lay hands on, after they done spoke to you, after they done prophesied to you, after the power of God done shook you, after you done cried, after you done raised your hand, after you done fell over, there, once you get up and come to yourself, there's a responsibility. Now, if we're really doing it right and really getting into the presence of God, I'm going to get to the word. Hold on. If we're really doing it right and we are really in the presence of God, well, after you have an encounter with him, you will change. Nobody will have to tell you to change. You know you've been changed. My husband always gives his testimony of how God delivered him. When he was really, you know, got real about the situation. Many, many, many years ago, people of God, just to let you know. So when he really got really real about the situation and God delivered him, and when he got up off the floor, didn't nobody have to tell him he did not have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. No one had to tell him that he was delivered. He knew he was delivered. He knew he was changed. He knew his mindset was different. He knew that he had a paradigm spiritual shift. And the same for us. We must seek after. I'm going to say that again. We must have and we must seek after having a paradigm spiritual shift. In other words, that means we must seek to get into God's presence until the very atmosphere changes. Not until we're speaking in a couple of tongues and then we're crying a couple of crocodile tears. No, I'm talking about where you are sitting in his presence and being soaked with his, when the glory cloud, when the kabod, the weight of his glory comes in and just envelops you. where it's nothing but you and him, when you are definitely past the first and second realm of the heavens and you are in the third, the rest, I like to call them the realm, even though I know that's not a word that exists, but when you are really deep in the realm of the spirit, when you are face to face, mouth to mouth with the master, that type of pressing, that type of presence is what I'm talking about, that type of anointing we should seek. And here's the thing, child of the Most High King, is that he does seek to have that relationship with you. It's not something, what we do is we come into his presence, and every blue moon he comes in very strongly, and we, you know, we're just in awe of him, but we don't want to continue on with that type of level of presence, because when God steps in the room at that level, then everything that is not like him has to bow. Everything that hangs on to you, everything that you're trying to hold on to, every demonic demon, every chain, every rope, amen, everything that does not represent him must bow in his presence. It must fall off. That's where you hear people that they begin to travail. That's when you see people who have begin to manifest, as they say. That's when you see some people begin to cry, or they begin to holler out, or they begin to scream, and you know, and the evil spirits that have been tormenting them, they get restless, and they got to go when it comes to the true presence, when that glory steps in the room. And people don't always like that glory stepping in the room, because when his glory steps in, it gets real ugly real quick. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You know, it goes past the boohoo tears till it goes to the point of the sobbing. It goes to the point of repentance. It goes to where God begins to affect your soul, your very being. And all you can do is cry out, yes. Because you just have to do what his will calls you to do. You have to let go of whatever he's calling you to let go. And here is the thing, is that God doesn't just want to do that just a one time, or once every 6 months, or once a year. He wants that to be a regular encounter with you. He wants to be able, we see the old saints where they always talk about how, you know, they're like, I was just sitting at the table and the presence of the Lord just came in the room and enveloped. I remember my spiritual mother, Mother Estella Boyd, who has gone on to be with the Lord, we would be in her home, and the presence of the Lord would just, he lived there. I don't want to say rest there. The presence of the Lord lived at her house. Wherever she stepped, wherever she called her abode at that moment, we would go to a hotel room. She would be having conferences, or would go to church conferences, and she would be in a hotel room. And when you would step foot wherever she was, there was such a peace and a reverence, because the presence of God would just be there. Wherever she was, the presence of God was there. Amen. The presence of God would just be there. And I never quite understood it when I was learning, when I was shadowing her, but as I was her daughter, her spiritual daughter, and learning about him, learning about his presence, I never quite understood always why the room would change, why it would be such a peace, why people would be walking on eggshells almost. And it wasn't the fact that they were walking on eggshells. They were moving quite regularly, but they understood, they reverenced his presence. They reverenced his I don't want to call it aura, but they reverenced his anointing that would rest right where she was at. She would have conversations. I remember my husband and I went to her house. She invited us to her home, and we supped at her table. Amen. And we were having dinner. She was eating just a little bit because she was doing her 100-day, 250-day, I think, fast or something like that. And we were all sitting at the table, and she was talking about the Lord. And then in mid-conversation, she would just go. She would close her eyes and she would go. But when we say go, she would be up in, he would call her immediately where he was at. And her, even though her physical being was there, her spirit was gone. And I remember, and I think my husband remember, I think I saw it maybe one time, my husband's seen it a few times, but that when she would come back, some she would have conversation with us, but she would still be gone. Or when she came, when he allowed her to come back, her eyes would be almost like an onyx color, because she would be gone. But when he allowed her to come back, she would tell us everything he said. And you don't have many people, and I know they exist. I know they exist. But you don't have many people that have crossed that barrier with God. We hear about it in the Bible, but it's very few people that are living that have crossed that barrier with them. And the thing about it, brother and sister, is that God really wants all of us on a daily basis. He wants us to have that type of relationship with him. But we're not willing, many of us are not willing to die to ourselves. We're not willing to die to the public opinion. We're not willing to die to the very things that make us us. We're not willing to die according to what his word says. We still want to find a way to have our cake and eat it too. I still want to be saved, but I still want to have that big mansion. I want to be saved, but I still want to be driving 5 or 6 cars. I want to be saved, but I still want to look fly. I want to be saved, but I still want people to like me. I want to be saved, but I want to, you know, keep my pockets fat. I have to be successful. It's all about being successful. And if I'm not successful, then I am nobody in God. Well, who's to say you are somebody in God because you are, quote unquote, money coming out of every direction? It says we must come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Submit to God. Amen. So, another instance, amen, and I haven't forgotten about you. I still want us to put our hands on James chapter 3 and 1. But the interesting thing is when she would come back, everything that she would only speak what God would give her to speak. She didn't speak no more, no less. She didn't try to embellish. And she wasn't one of the best orators that you ever wanted to meet. But she had power. She knew God. And even in the simplistic things, she still, you knew that the woman of God had been in the face of Jesus. So another experience I had, amen, again, I'm just being a little transparent, is that, and again, this was probably maybe my second or third year with learning the way of holiness, learning the way of being able to be in his presence that way. And what's very interesting is that she taught us how to begin to operate under that heavy anointing. She would train us to be able to still move. She said, listen, she said, there are people's lives at stake. There's people's lives that are in the balance. She said, you cannot be a minister or you cannot be an effective man or woman of God. Or she would say, you can't be my son or daughter. That's how she would tell you. She said, you can't be my son or daughter and be weak. You can't fall out under the power and can't, you know, you got to be able to go forth and complete the assignment. You got to stand strong. So she would teach us how to walk under and operate under that type of heavy anointing. Because she knew she could not touch each and every person that came, amen, to be ministered, that wanted to hear a word, that wanted to be delivered, that wanted to be changed. And at the same time, those of us who have sons and daughters under us that God has given us the responsibility for, they should be echoing, amen, what you have poured on the inside of them. If you have sons and daughters and all they're trying to do is just, you know, sit back and not, you know, really go forth, or if you have some, you don't want them to ever go forth, but you want to call them a son or daughter, how will you ever know what you have put inside? How will you ever know what's on the inside of them if you don't test the metal? The one thing I love about Mother Boyd is that she would get up at any point in time and say, you, go forth. You, go minister. You, give the word tonight. You, get on the microphone. You, go pray for the people. And we better not be talking about, well, you know, I haven't fasted for 3 days or I haven't spoke to. We didn't have that. We were put in that, we were given that mandate and we had to move forward in those things. Amen. But she allowed us to become used to being under and being in the presence of God. And I say that to say this, and I'm moving on from here, is that God wants us to be used to his presence at all times and at any time. He wants to be able to step in at any moment, right wherever you are, and begin to speak to you on behalf of his people. Amen? Amen. So, when I started off this message tonight, I was talking about how we have to be very responsible with the words that come forth out of our mouth. That we have to understand that God holds us accountable by what we say, by what we say, by what we say. And the enemy builds his case up on how we feel. So for many of us, we speak about how we feel instead of what is God saying about a situation. Now, the first thing I know, you're going to say, well, God is concerned about how I feel. Yes, he is concerned about how you feel, but you cannot rest your whole entire relationship or whole entire purpose for being in Christ off of my feelings, because feelings change within minutes. You can be happy, the next thing something can tick you off. The other thing, you could be sad. The other thing, you could be joyful. You could be smiling. You could be on top of the world. One thing is that you have to be consistent when it comes to the kingdom of God. And the things of God is that we must develop consistency. And we must train ourselves. We must train ourselves to understand that when we speak, by the authority that God has graced us with, by the delegated authority, that we are held to a higher esteem, amen, by what we say. So we have to be very careful what we say and how we say, the motive even behind what you say. How many of us have talked to people and they're smiling in your face, but the motive was wrong? I'm going to read out of the book of James, talking about the tongue, still talking about it. And tonight he's actually talking to the leaders. Amen. He says, my brother, and I'm reading out the New King James, and I'll go back and forth between the New King James and the Message Bible as well. He said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Okay, let's read that out of the Message Bible. Don't be in a rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. Why? When we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. So we got everybody that's rushing to try to get into the pulpit, but we don't really fully grasp the depth of what God is really holding us accountable to. We're just glad somebody's listening to us. But he's saying here, I'm judging everything that's coming out of your mouth. I'm judging everything that you're speaking. I'm judging everything that the people are receiving. I'm judging it all. For we all stumble in many things. Going back to the New King James Version, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Or that word perfect means mature. He is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. The Message says, we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouth. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot or wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. Okay, let's flip over to the Message Bible for just a little bit for full understanding. It says here, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. That's how much power is in your words. We really don't understand, people of God, that for many of us, our destinies could have already been fulfilled by now. Help me to help me, Holy Ghost. Our prophecies could have already come forth by now. That business could have already been manifested by now. Those children could have already been saved, or they could have already finished college by now. You could have had that spouse that you've been looking for. You could have had those children. But everything could have happened by now. I know things are in God's timing. I understand that completely. But what I'm saying, there have been words that God has spoken to us individually that he's saying, listen, I've given you access to the kingdom. I've given you access to the spirit realm. You have the keys. All you have to do is use what I've given you. Use it. Speak it. You shall have what you say. Open up your mouth. I'll fill it. Speak it. And we cry and we thank God and we do all of that. But yet we still continue to operate as though we did before. I don't know when, God, when is it going to happen for me? How long, Lord? I believe you. I don't understand. But yet again, here we go again. The enemy always doing that. One minute, every time you get joy, here come the devil. It says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account. So all that I just spoke, it didn't seem like nothing, especially when your emotions get involved in it. Doesn't seem like that. When you don't understand this, that you just don't understand what I'm going through. He said, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. We're not seeing the manifestation. Some things we have not seen the manifestation because we have spoken death to the stuff around us. We have caused our own prophetic words to be delayed in the spirit realm because we won't get the revelation of what Jesus is telling us. We won't get control of our speech. We won't get control of our thoughts. We just, anything that pops in, we go. Boom. I'm speaking to everybody from the pulpit to the door. I don't know about you. Maybe you want to be deep and wonderful. But there's been some things that prophetess have spoken out of my little raggedy emotions. Because I'm just feeling that way. I'm just feeling some kind of way about it. And I begin to speak stuff. And as I'm speaking and spewing it out of one side of my lips, then I'm talking about bless the Lord on the other side. But oh, God's going to work it out. Listen, baby, he's already worked it out. He spoke to me. He's speaking to you. He's like, listen, I've given you what you've asked for. Ask me what you want. I will do. Speak by faith what I will do. God wants to bring glory to it. He's given you the authority to do it. You don't have to have another prophet prophesy it over you. And listen, I'm going to park here for about 2 seconds. Too many of us keep hearing the same word over and over and over again, and we're still not seeing the manifestation of it because we refuse to do what he told us to do to begin with. You have not because you're not asking anything. And when you're asking, you ask amiss, or you're asking out of your emotions. He's already given you in your hand the keys. He's given you the plans. He's given you the vision. He's given you the people. He's given you the resources. He's told you what to do. You know what to do. But for some reason in your mind, you're still refusing to mature yourself up spiritually. You're refusing to let yourself be, to have a paradigm shifting in your thoughts, in your speech. If you want better, you have to get around things that are doing better. If I want to change how I view something, I got to get around people that see things in a broader perspective. I have to get around people that see things in 3D vision. I can't hang around people that only see things in one dimension. Because if I see things one dimensional, we're never going to get out of this place. Thank God that Jesus himself, when God began to form the earth, amen, and began to speak the earth into existence, he saw it in its very detail. He saw how detailed it was, and he began to speak the details even concerning the way that he wanted this earth to be formed and concerning you and me. None of us are alike, even though we come from one person. None of us are alike. Because that's the type of God, that's how his speech, if you look in the Bible, it says, and he spoke, and he said, and because of that one word, the one word that came forth out of his mouth, accomplished everything he sent it to do. So how much more can we accomplish if we begin to speak truly what he is, what he called us originally to speak? You got a ministry? You begin to speak that thing into existence. God will make sure that you get around the right people that are going to train you, that are going to birth you, that are going to mature you and challenge you, hold you accountable, amen, to his word, to make sure you don't get too far off to the left or to the right. He's going to make sure that you, as long as your heart is towards him, he's going to make sure that you do not fall off the beaten path. He will make sure you stay right on the path you need to go down. But what are we really speaking? It can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It, verse 5 and 6, it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. How many times have each of us said something, and before we recognize what we really said, the word was already gone? And like my husband likes to say, he calls it damage control. So then somebody has to go behind you and do damage control. Mm-hmm. Who's doing damage control behind you? Who's trying to clean up? Well, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean to say it that way. Well, what I meant this time, well, what I was trying to say this time, it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. Excuse me. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation. Oh, we know about that. Send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. So he's basically saying your words will take you right to the pit of hell. Your speech will betray you. That's why we can't just clearly focus on letting our leaders just preach to us every week after week, Sunday after Sunday. And if you got a good leader, thank God for that man or that woman of God that he's given you. Amen, somebody. But if he or she is a really excellent leader, then that leader is challenging you to get into the word for yourself and to use the word for yourself and not wait on him and her to do it for you. A good leader will train you to be able to operate at the level that they operate in or operate at. And the higher you go, you're automatically pushing them up higher because they have to stay above you in order to be able to lead you. cover you. Not that they're greater than you. That's not what I'm saying at all. Yes, they put their pants on one leg at a time like all the rest of us. They have good days, bad days, just like the rest of us. But a good leader, man or woman, whoever God has placed in your life to lead you, a good leader is going to not only challenge you, but they're going to show you what they do to accomplish what they have. They won't leave you deficit. They won't leave you half-baked. They'll make sure that they'll do whatever they have to do so that you too can stand on your own. In other words, like I told a gentleman before, I can either fish for you or I can teach you how to fish so that you can feed your own family. Or you can rely on me to just fish for you at any given time. If I fall out, who's going to fish for you? You'll sit over on the side and starve. But if I teach you to do what I do, then not only you won't starve, but you will feed your family and then you will teach others to feed theirs. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you. I give you glory. And I bless your holy name in this place. You are Alpha and Omega, your beginning and the end. God, you love us. You love us. You love us. And I'm so grateful for it. Help all of us, God, to really understand the responsibility of us carrying your name, carrying your delegated authority, carrying your anointing. Help us to really fully come into focus and acceptance of the responsibility that we must play to be called the sons of God. Now, Father, even now, give us a paradigm shift in our minds, Lord, in our minds, God, in our hearts on tonight, seeking after you in Jesus' name. Now, those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and into my life. Make me whole again. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, man and woman of God, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying that God is going to lead you by his spirit to a spirit-led Bible-believing, unadulterated teaching gospel church that's going to train you, birth you, mature you, and teach you the ways of the kingdom, amen, so that you can be effective in these last hours. Father, we just thank you right now. Now, go to my website, please, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. Please, once again, become a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I love you. I love you, and I will see you again next week, amen, at this hour, 7 p.m., another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. And also, please join me on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. for our live worship experience, as well as Tuesday for my husband, Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast at 7 p.m. Be blessed in the Lord. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night.